back.
So that you guys can settle.
Yeah.
When you're ready,
just let me know, and I'll break down the music. And I'll be
start. Oh, yeah, no worries.
No worries.
I think we're hot.
Yeah, we're hot.
We're back.
Yeah, it's fun.
Who's sharing the mic?
Those two at the end. They took the tall mic. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why either.
Yeah, like, I very distinctly made one mic tall just so that I can have it on my lap. Because I want it here. This is, like, really comfortable spot, you know?
Yeah. But one tip. I know you guys can hear each other really good because you're right next to each other. Like, if you don't hear your voice echoing from out there, you're probably not loud enough.
All right.
So just talk a little louder. I want the people at Papa John's to hear us.
Yeah.
We want Papa John's to hate us. That's the goal. Okay? Because it's fun.
And not the close one. We like them. It's the far one.
It's the far one. We want the far one not to like us.
Okay. Do you want to know what our podcast is about?
You want to bring down...
Are you guys ready to get started?
Are you ready, Alter? Yeah, we're good. Bring down on it. Thanks, Chuck.
You ready?
All right. Hey there, guys. You saw me a couple of minutes ago. Hi, I'm back. As I said, my name is Carter Lyon. I work for Lanterns Aura. I do some voice acting, some other tech stuff, so you might see me around, but hey.
I'm Matthew Laycock with Lanterns Aura. I do voice acting, not as much tech stuff as him. And I just hope that things work well, and somehow they make it work well.
Hi, I'm Ultir, or Karma, either works. I'm one of the co-founders of Lanterns Aura. I do voice acting, I do editing, soundscaping, and I also am the co-writer for Islantha.
Hello, I am Sean. I am also one of the co-founders. I voice act in Islantha. I also am one of the writers, the director.
Move the mic.
Yep. I'm also one of the writers, the director of quite a few of our episodes, and handle a lot of just merchandising.
Hi, my name is Aster. I am one of the voice actors with Lantern Zora here.
All right, nice. All right, so what you can tell our panel is going to be about is how to start a podcast with your friends. What this does not mean is how to actually make a podcast. It's a totally different topic. I have a PowerPoint that we made last night at 1 a.m., and this is my first time seeing it, so let me, like, click through here. It's not...
That is entirely a lie. They saw this last night at 1 a.m.
Why are you calling me out like this?
Absolutely.
Why are you doing that to me?
Because that's the fun of it.
No, stop that.
Yeah.
What this panel is not about. How to make a podcast. So, actually physically making it. It's not about that. How to make a podcast popular. How to make podcasting your full-time job. If we knew, it would be our full-time job.
Absolutely.
Probably. Maybe.
What it is about. How to work with what you have. Networking. How to convince your friends this is a good idea, actually, and definitely will be fun. Experience for everyone involved. Super not stressful. Why would it be stressful? You're making a podcast, not a movie. Legal stuff. Marketing. Knowing what works for you. So, first topic we have, how to work with what you have. My first thing here is phone and internet. So, I'll let Ninjor start that off.
So, one of the biggest problems that a lot of people face when making anything is the fact that a lot of people have this idea that you need to be amazing. When you think podcast, you think, you know, mic setup like this. You think big mixing boards, nice headphones, you know, great sound quality. And you're just not going to achieve that a lot of the time in the beginning. And sometimes you just need to settle and work with what you can do and learn and grow and be willing to give yourself the time to learn the basics with what you have before you commit to so much extra that you then have to learn even more for. I don't know if anyone else has a point on that, but that is very much...
No.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a top quality on your audio and everything that in your production. There's always room to improve, always room to grow. If you have a cell phone that can record audio, you can start working on a podcast.
One of my favorite stories was when we were first starting out, we had to do music, and we had this song that had, like, you know, 8 or 9 layered voices, and we wanted to get all these different people. And so, like, half of them just recorded on their cell phone for it. Because a lot of the time, that audio sounds pretty good. And genuinely, it turned out great. So it's just playing around with what you can.
All right, our next one here is social media. Obviously, the marketing aspect, but more, if you go into social media, there are tons of people who are willing to help you with a project or lend their voice, lend their skills, or even just asking them, hey, how did you do that? And more than likely, they're going to be able to tell you rather than going onto YouTube tutorial after YouTube tutorial after YouTube tutorial. I'll let Dragon handle friends.
Yeah. So a lot of the times, you know, you can't make things by yourself. You're going to need to actually get people to help you. The whole reason why we started out was I was a college student taking a class on podcasting, and the semester final got assigned to us on the first day of class. You ended up having to make the first few episodes of a fiction podcast for the final, and it had to be ready to be, like, sent out and would be something you'd be comfortable actually having the whole world have access to. And at the time, I knew the three people next to me who had just finished up a D&D campaign with me, and we decided, hey, what if we did that? So I convinced them to help, and then they brought on some of their friends, I brought on some of my friends, and together we were able to convince people to do, you know, enough to just make what I needed for class. And then we had good enough time doing it that we decided, what if we make the full series? What if we make the full series? And after that, we kind of just kept going. And now we also have, like, multiple shows and do movies.
Aster, do you have anything to add to that with the friend thing? All right.
Perspective.
Well, all right.
Can I have one?
Do you?
Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. One big thing is just, like, a lot of your friends who you might know, anyone, your parents, your siblings, might be really good at something and just never use it. Like, I know a lot of us, our families have shown up in a lot of our shows because some of them are really good vocalists or voice actors, or they can do art or other things. And it's just knowing that even if someone doesn't do something as their career, you know, you always look for professionals. Someone can be really talented at something, and it's just being willing to look for those.
And with stuff like a podcast, absolutely don't be afraid to ask your friends. One, it's always good to have extra listens, and your friends are a good way to spread the word. But when we started doing this and we were looking for some roles to be filled, just mentioning that we were doing a podcast, I had friends that were jumping. Why didn't you already tell me about this? I want to do a voice. When can you get me into the podcast? So absolutely, just let your friends know.
All right, next thing. There are tons of websites that will give you free music, free sounds, audio software. This is probably stuff that you already know. And it's just another thing that I wanted to add on to how to work with what you have. And then my last point here is you have to make less to do more. And what I mean by that is... if the only thing you have is phone and internet, sometimes you just have to figure out a way in your podcast for that to make sense. If it's like a fiction podcast, if it's a nonfiction podcast, that's what you have. It's much better to make something than to not make it at all. Does anyone have anything to add to that?
It's that old statement, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you never take, and you're never going to get good at anything if you don't try to get good at something.
All right, I'm going to switch to the next one.
Oh, yeah.
So, networking.
Network.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to talk to people.
It's the worst.
That's how networking works. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. And it means not necessarily just talking to your friends. It could also mean being at a convention like this and going to booths, asking if anyone knows anyone or if someone would be interested. It could be even, like I said, onto social media, asking people, that kind of thing. Anyone have anything?
One big thing is just like talking to anyone who you think might show any interest similar to you. If you see, you know, if you're making a podcast about like cooking and you meet people who are like, oh, you know, they're more showing that they do chef work or things like that, talking to them, talking to people who, even if they don't have an interest, might give you inspiration and ideas that you can then use.
And if they're already doing a podcast of their own, it's a great collaborative connection where you can work with someone else to do a crossover episode or something like that.
The crossover episode.
You have anything else? All right, excellent.
It's just us, I guess.
Next one. Use what skills you and people have around you. So this is kind of more touching on the friend thing, where if someone has a voice that you like or someone's an artist, that kind of thing. But also just, like, if someone you know knows how to edit sound or knows how to make sound good together, or even has a good mic or has a good setup like that, or maybe someone you know has a closet that's really soundproof, that's like stuff that you can help to get your podcast sounding better, to have your friends help out. And there might even be things that I'm not thinking of right now that your friends are, or people you know around you are like, oh, like, do you want this? And you'd be like, oh my God, that would sound so good. So stuff like that.
Yeah, or in some cases, things like most of the merchandising or the art, we don't do, I can't draw to save my life. I know that for a fact. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. But we have friends who are very talented artists who handle the art side of things because they're very busy between the editing and stuff, and I just can't draw, so we have other people who help us out in ways like that.
Anyone else have anything to add?
One of the examples I have is the person who actually does a lot of our music and composing was not a composer when we first met them and they were brought on. They were in school for a completely different subject, and they just came in and were like, hey, and gave us stuff, and we tried it, and it was awesome. And so it's very much that, like, even hidden talents and just knowing that people can be good at things and a lot of the time want to share what they're good at just as much as you want to have it be a part of something you're making.
All right. Again, more reiterating, but this is more on the fact of, like, if your friend has a talent and you just kind of assume they're going to volunteer their talent to your fun little project, they probably won't. So you should ask them. You should reach out to them and say, like, hey, like, you're a really good artist, and I would really love for you to do this for me. It's nice to pay your friends, but sometimes you have to do a trade of some kind, and that is fine. And as long as you guys both agree on it, it's good.
True. Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, cool. All right. This is a fun one. Legal stuff.
Yay.
I would like to say that we are not lawyers, and everything that we are saying is merely suggestions. You don't have to take anything that we say in this part seriously. You could ignore it completely because it's a suggestion. Please don't sue us.
Please don't.
This is what we've found for us. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
All right. Podcasting is a business. You can make money in podcasting, and you have to treat it like one, which means if you start making money, you need to treat it like a business. Anything else? Anyone people want to add to that?
It is exactly like this. Like, when we started out, it was, you know, like you said, a school project. It was something simple. And as we started going to events like this, like, this is our third year here at MegaCon, you know, you have to start taking things a bit more seriously and coming into the understanding that, like, you are really putting yourself out there, and you need to acknowledge the seriousness of doing that as well.
All right. Do I really need a contract there, my friend? Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And even if the contract is something like you're in a Discord call with them, or you're talked to them on the phone, or you talk to them verbally about something, afterwards you need to write it down somewhere in like an email, in a Discord call, whatever, anything. Like, you need to write it down exactly what you guys are saying, and both of you guys have to agree. That is as simple as a contract can be. If you don't write this down, someone's going to forget a deadline, someone's going to get disappointed, and you're going to get hurt. Like, working with your friends really requires you to communicate with your friends. You don't want to ruin those friendships over making something like this. And like, from experience, you need to make a contract, even if you're friends. Yes, you do. Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah, absolutely. At that point, it is not you working with your friends. It is your friends contracting with your business that you just happen to work for also. So absolutely, don't just say, oh, well, they're my friend, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. All right, last one.
That's true.
This one's the fun one. When money's involved. So when money's involved, there can be, it's obviously what works for you. And it depends where the money's coming from, how the money's being made, because it could be merch, it could be from advertisements, it could be from people directly giving stuff to a Patreon, anything like that. You need to communicate with the people that you're, that are your voice actors, editors, artists, anything, where that, if they're going to get money, if they do get money, like, how much are they going to get? Is it a percentage? Is it a set amount? Whatever it is, everyone needs to understand what is going on. And it means not being tricky. They're your friends. You don't want to be tricky. If you say something like, oh, you're going to get 10%. 10% of what? Of the profit? Of the whole thing? You need to be very clear. Otherwise, it can get messy.
Yeah, and with that, it is very much make your intentions clear as well. Because money can be blinding a lot of the time, and it's something that can be very awkward to talk about, you know? No one likes discussing money, but it's something that you have to be willing to do when you are working with other people, so that everyone's on the same page.
And definitely make sure everyone agrees to the dollar amount in advance. Like, don't be willing to do a, oh, we'll figure out the amount like after it's done, or we'll figure out the amount later. Make sure you get the amount figured out right away.
Yeah.
Cool. Money's not a fun thing to talk about sometimes, but it needs to be talked about.
I don't think it's ever fun to talk about.
I don't know. It could be.
If you have enough, I guess.
Yeah.
It's right. Fun to talk about it when you're telling people what you're going to buy for yourself at MegaCon.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. Yeah, definitely. All right, marketing, social media, again, but this one is more on your guys' side, so on you having a social media to advertise on. I remember earlier I was talking about this, and they told me to do this one, where Tumblr, that's a weird one, is huge in podcasts. So many people are on Tumblr for podcasts, and not just, like, the creators, although they are as well, but podcasts have big fandoms on Tumblr. I would say that one of like the most popular like fiction podcasts, the reason why it became popular was because of Tumblr. And this is I'm gonna age myself. But this was like when Welcome the Night Vale was like a big thing. Like, the reason it got popular was Tumblr. Like, it was a good podcast and everything like that, but they had, like, basically, like, no advertising, anything like that. It was Tumblr. People on Tumblr saw it, and they're like, this is amazing. Magnus Archives is also huge on Tumblr. Malevolent's huge on Tumblr. Silt Versus, like, everything like that. Like, if you go on there, not only are the creators on there, but people, like, that watch them. Obviously, Instagram is more popular widely, and same thing with Twitter and all that sort of stuff is more popular widely, and you should also be on those social medias, but trust me, Tumblr. Oh my God. There's so many people on there that have so much advice. There's so many like Discord server links on those things, and that's where you're going to find your people.
And that's also part of it, is talking exactly about building that, or social medias that connect people as well. Because an individual fan will feel a lot better when they know other people are there to talk to and talk about things. And that's why Tumblr is such a big one, is there's so much discussion and connection there. And Discord's another big one. It may not seem like a social media, you know, it's considered more of a like chat room platform, but it allows people to meet and discuss. I don't know if anyone else has this, but you know, you go see a movie and you want to talk about it. You want to think about what just happened, and finding people who have thoughts that might be the same or might be different is so much more fun of an experience to enjoy.
All right.
Go for it. Yeah, and then moving on to the next point for talking to people, word of mouth is definitely also huge for actually getting people to hear about your show, because not everyone's going to be on whatever platform people are talking about your show on, or people have to learn about it some way eventually, like initially. So that's like when we first started out, we were setting up at a bunch of different conventions and we had our merchandise. People would come over and like, oh, what's this from? And we would explain, you know, our shows, who we are. And while not every person that you talk to is going to listen to your show, at least some people are going to listen to it. And then some of them might recommend it to their friends, who might recommend it to their friends. And it just goes on and on.
Yeah. And then kind of the last thing kind of ties into the first thing, knowing where your audience is. So this could be something like, if we were being really specific, because we make a fantasy podcast, a lot of people who like fantasy, like D&D, usually go to game stores and everything like that. So that's the type of thing where if you're going to a game store and you could, and if they're like independently owned, you could ask like, hey, can I leave my business cards here or something like that? Or you join like their D&D groups or anything like that, or find the people who actually go to those types of places. They're probably going to be interested in your podcast. And this is also something like if you do a sci-fi, where people who like sci-fi would usually go, or really any genre, like horror, any genre like that. Knowing where your audience is, that's word of mouth part. But then also, like, if you're making a podcast that you feel is for like maybe an older audience, then like Facebook might be the place to go. If it's a place where like, you know, like a lot of people that use YouTube, honestly, maybe like putting your podcast on YouTube might be better for you than putting it on Spotify, because it's easier to search up. It really depends. You just need to know where your audience is, and it's a lot of trial and error. All right, that's good.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, extra stuff. So this kind of sounds like the conclusion, but I swear it's not.
There's more. We swear. Kind of.
All right. Phone and internet again. So this is like, I also put on the other one. So this is like, really want to iterate the point that what you need to make a podcast with is phone and an internet, and that's really all you need. And I think the biggest barrier that people have to making a podcast, especially like even with their friends, is just not doing it. Do it, please. I would love to see new things, please.
And kind of playing into that is another, it's not in the slideshow, but another thing to talk about is that idea of, it's that barrier of once you make something, you know, it's there. Once you make it, people see it. You can't hide it anymore. You can't play it off like it doesn't exist. It's there, plain and simple. And that can be a really scary concept, to just be able to show something and say, I made this, I'm really proud of this, and I want other people to be able to see it. Is hard because you're showing yourself, you know? This is something you cared enough about to make and want to share and put effort into gathering people and friends. So getting past that is hard, but that is a big step to even consider. That is just taking that first step of making anything to break that initial barrier.
And it does get easier with time.
It really does.
All right. My next little thing here is art, music, voice actors, editors. So this is not like necessarily where to find them, but more what you actually need. So if you're in a position where it's only you in your room and you have a phone and you're like, I can't make art, I can't make music, I don't know if I'm a good voice actor, I don't know how I'm going to edit this, you don't need to. you really don't. You can literally talk into your phone, and that can be your podcast. I would suggest that maybe writing in a way where that makes sense. I would think that talking to a phone would make an excellent horror podcast, honestly. That sounds like a really cool idea. But would say, like, the only thing you know how to do is audio editing. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. It's really, like, deciding, like, what you actually need and how much you're willing to give to people that you know, friends and everything like that. And if none of your friends are artists, that's fine. That's totally fine. You might not need, like, the extra art. You can do the logo in, like, some type of vector program, and then it's, like, it's just, it could be really simple. It could be a square and a circle, something like that. Like, it doesn't, really just knowing what you need and not having it as a barrier for creativity is really important. Like, what you make is more important than how everything looks.
It's bouncing off that. It's that idea of, you're gonna have an idea in your head, you know? When you start drawing a picture or painting something, you have an idea, you're like, this is exactly how I want it to look. And I imagine anyone who's ever done anything knows it very rarely ends up looking like that, exactly how you want. So sometimes you need to just accept that, is it good enough? Is it where you are okay with showing it to the world? Not exactly having it be perfect, because perfection just isn't possible.
Yeah, and like bouncing off that again, like I have another slide. It's kind of what we're talking about right now, is knowing what you actually need. And this is like even extra stuff where it's like merch, buying, like, you know, having a booth at a panel. Like, is this something that like is going to cause a barrier where you're just like, oh, I don't have the money to do that. I'm just not going to make this podcast. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Please make the podcast. You can make it. Trust me. You have anything else? All right.
Try. Enjoy. Make something that you like. And if you, you know, find that it's great for you, then other people will probably like it.
As long as you have fun making it, that's the main thing that matters. If you enjoy making it, there's going to be people who enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
Oh, and also adding on to that, again, if it's your first podcast, like, maybe it would blow up and it becomes your full-time job, and that'd be amazing. Realistically, that's not the point. That's not going to happen, right? And I'm not saying that as, like, a downer. I'm saying that as, if this is, like, causing you so much stress and so much strain between all of your friends, you can slow down. And it should be an enjoyable experience to make something. So, like, really, like, knowing, like, what you actually, like, need to have happen right away, and it can be slow and everything like that, is, as long as something is getting made, it doesn't really matter.
Actually, yeah. This is one point bouncing off of that it came up with, is that don't run into things full steam. Be aware that burnout does happen. You may really like something. You may really, really want to keep doing it. But if you burn yourself out in the process, you're gonna wind up hating it in the end. So taking a pace and knowing how much you can do is really important. Knowing your limits of what you're able to pull off.
Remember to take breaks.
Yeah.
Take time to breathe.
Yeah.
It's not that important. It's something to be fun.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have your podcast have a new episode every single week. You could do, like, every other week or once a month. Like, go at a pace where you're not going to burn yourself out.
This actually is more in line with my next slide. Yeah, real.
I jumped the gun. That was my fault. I jumped the gun, but, you know.
Yeah, and the same thing with budget. So, like, if something is, like, really, really out of your budget, you can always save up for it. This is true. This is a thing that you could do. Or you can decide that, okay, is this something that I actually need? And if it is something you need, you should save up for it. And you know, it will sound really, really cool when you have it out there and everything like that. But really not, like, being down on yourself for, it's like, oh, like, I would really like to do a podcast weekly, and that would be really, really cool and everything like that. And I just can't. It's like, don't. Don't do it weekly.
Yeah.
It's like, if you do monthly, it's good.
Yeah. If your budget and time can say, oh, I can make one monthly, you know, give yourself recording 1 week, writing 1 week, then do it monthly. If you can pull off, we started off every 2 weeks, and that worked for our schedule. We were able to get writing and editors and audio, because we do full soundscaped, if you haven't heard it. And so we have, you know, musicians writing stuff. We have actors from all around pulling and having to invite them in and figure out recording times.
Because we have full-time jobs.
Because we all do other things. But it's that level of knowing that if you don't think you can pull it off doing every week, don't try to break yourself to fit into that box that you know you can't fit into. If that's not what you're meant to do, then it's not what you're meant to do. And sometimes you just have to accept that.
And accept things to change also. If you start off every week and it starts to get overwhelming or life starts to happen or something like that and you need to slow down, don't feel like you're letting your listeners down. They're going to understand. Slow it down to every other week or every month. Don't treat it like the world's going to end if you can't make your deadlines that you enforced on yourself.
Yeah.
So the next part I have here is downscaling and upscaling. They kind of like go together. Downscaling is, it's like a lot of things that we were talking about before, but more in like you have this really good idea. It involves soundscaping and 10 different voice actors and different pieces of music for every single character. And it's going to come out weekly and it's going to be awesome. And then you have a full-time job and no money. So this is obviously something where you would downscale, where you can write this in a different way. So if you have this story that involves 10 voice actors and all this sort of stuff, why not write it like a book and have a narrator? And then this narrator can, you know, do like how a storyteller would do different voices for these characters. And then there's only you talking. And then maybe you only need one piece of music. And then that's not so much. And all your stuff. And yeah. Have anything to add to that?
Plays into it also. Exactly, upscaling and downscaling and knowing kind of what you can do. And that also plays into the first idea may not be the right idea, you know? If you originally write something to be done by two separate people and then you figure out it's like, oh, this is better off as a group of people or better off as one person. Be willing to be flexible. And I don't think we have it here. Be willing to take criticism. Be willing to take it across the chin when someone says, hey, I don't like how you did this. And listen to what they say. Because there are some things that it hurts, you know, when you do something and you take feedback sometimes just to hear that, like, they didn't like this or they didn't like this. But it's important because they might have a completely different ear from you. They might not like how this sounds, but they might say, oh, but I really like this part, and expanding on that and being willing to adapt with that criticism is also really key.
Yeah, like for thinking of ways you could handle, like, say you did want to do the fully soundscape thing. Fully soundscape series with multiple actors and you want to do 10 characters but you don't have 10 people, don't be afraid to have like people play multiple characters. On our first show, everyone on the stage played at least two characters. I did like four for the first few episodes.
All right, now in a fun one, upscaling. Oh my god, you have money. You can hire voice actors. This is awesome. Oh, this is great. Upscaling is awesome, and it's great. And honestly, there's some podcasts that really, really warrant the need for multiple voice actors or soundscaping or the music, especially if it's something that's like central to their theme. And that's awesome. And you should, if you can, if you have the means and the friends, because obviously that's kind of the idea. Upscaling with friends is so much easier than trying to hire every single voice actor, because obviously we want to give people what they deserve for money, and sometimes we don't have that, and that's fine. So it's really good to be able to have your friends there to help with the upscaling part, which is why we made this panel, so that people know that like their friends are really good assets to being able to make really, really cool things.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a good one. This is hopefully not the only podcast you'll ever make. So if you have to make the smaller one first, you should. And then, you know, and then you will make all the mistakes in that smaller one that maybe you're not as attached to. Maybe it's not the one that you've been thinking about in your head for 10 years. And then you do mistakes with it and everything like that. And then you get to do the cooler one later. And it's awesome.
It may be that while making your first podcast, it inspires you on what you're going to do for your next one. And that'll inspire you on your next one. And that'll inspire you on your next one. Always keep going. There's always something else ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of other podcasts, we did mention on social media earlier this week that we were going to make an announcement during our panel. We are actually releasing our next series later this year.
Yeah.
We have a science fiction series coming out. So it's a little bit different from the fantasy shows that we've done in the past or the horror genre we had for our first live action production. So we are going to be doing a 25 episode long series about a human who is accidentally kidnapped by aliens and now had to take a job at the only place willing to hire him in the strange new world. Being a radio DJ in the lowest income part of a completely unknown area.
What's the name of your podcast?
That is going to be Capella Radio, airing this fall, and we actually have the trailer for it.
Which is
two slides. You did jump the gun just a little bit.
Sorry,
I had to.
Okay, you guys messed up my slides. All right, that's cool.
You know, stick around for that, because it's really cool. The trailer looks awesome.
Or we could just skip to this, the trailer and then come back.
We're just skipping to it.
Again, the PowerPoint was made at 1 a.m. in our hotel room. you have to deal with this. I don't know how this works.
Start.
Wow, that's so cool. I'm so glad that I saw that before today, now.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that's not the first time I saw that. That would be wild.
Definitely not the first time.
That'd be crazy.
For like a year and a half, we've had this animation or something and cannot show it to anyone, have not been able to talk about it, and it's been driving me crazy.
Yeah. But by the way, for people who like music, every episode is going to have a new song.
Yes, just because I can talk about it. That was an awesome point of we got to reach out to a ton of local musicians all across North America and bring them in to be able to do individual musics or their first EPs and songs that were something that they normally wouldn't get to be out there as much. And we get to really highlight a lot of really cool musicians.
All right, cool. We have quite a few minutes left at the end here.
Yeah,
nice.
A little bit.
I am so good at organizing panels.
You're great at organizing.
Thank you.
I believe
thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
So we get to do a little bit of Q&A. If anyone has any questions, I don't know if that mic in the back actually works.
I think it works. Yeah, no, it works. Chuck
oh,
gave
does
me
it?
A thumbs
That's
up.
Sick.
So he
All right,
said yes.
Let's know. Okay.
Hello?
Hello there.
Oh, it does work.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, sick.
Cool. Works. I don't know if my question is too valid here, but I'm just curious. How do you think podcasts have advanced since, like, Orson Welles and all that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Could you talk a little bit? You had to, like, almost be kissing the mic. It sucks.
So, is that better?
Yeah!
All right, cool. When Orson, with War of the Worlds, what was that, in the 70s?
That was in the 30s?
Yeah, since then, how do you think it's gone with the advancements in
Oh, like radio shows?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I will talk about like this for like 2 hours. You don't want me to do this.
This is their favorite topic.
Oh, my God. Podcast is my favorite topic. So, like, obviously, like, on radio shows and everything like that, like, I mean, this is not really the topic of the... It's okay. Anyways, I'll make this quick. it's like with the advancements of like audio, obviously audio quality and just in general, but like storytelling obviously has changed just like in anything. But like, oh my God. Just like every single like... I'm obsessed with this so much. Yeah, I mean, like, with the advancements and everything like that, with podcasts and storytelling and everything like that, we went from having, like, radio shows, which were basically, from what I remember of going back, because I didn't actually watch a lot of radio shows. I'm not, unfortunately, that old. Was that, like, a lot of it was people talking, or they would have, like, it was an audiobook kind of style, where now we have, like, these podcasts that went from having like this story that was told or people talking to each other but with very minimal soundscaping to a reason that the podcast exists. Like Welcome to Night Vale and Magnus Archives have this thing where like one's a radio show host, one is like you're listening to a recorders, to not having that where it's just presented as is, and people are finding new and new ways all the time to use audios in really, really interesting ways. Like the lack of a visual obviously for podcasts is like one of like I think the coolest things of the medium. So that's my opinion on the advancement. But
so I always think of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know if anyone's ever listened back to the original radio show, but listening to that and hearing what we have now, I think the biggest change is just access. Before, you know, there was no such thing as really reruns on demand. There was no way of getting something unless you were lucky enough to catch it at the right time or be able to, you know, tune in, and it's sometimes you can be halfway through or get time zones wrong. And now it's just we have so much ability to be able to really put out these episodic series and be able to hit all these story beats with so much more planning, because you know your audience gets to pick where they listen. Your audience can have more control and you don't have to worry as much about these very specific timings and things like that. So I think access, I think that's really the big change that we've got.
And building on top of that, it's like us. You have a lot more people that have the ability and access to be able to produce and put out a show that they want without having to convince a big production company, hey, you should make this, and this is why.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for just being able to make things, I mean, with the advancements in technology and, like, the internet, none of us live in the same area. Like, I live in the southern United States. Turgeon lives in the northern United States. Altair lives on the west coast of
Canada.
Of Canada.
We're from Canada.
Carter lives on the east coast of Canada. So, yeah.
All right, we'll take the next question.
Oh no!
Come up here.
Oh, okay. Mike's live again.
Hello. Okay.
Yay.
There we go.
Yay.
Hi. From someone who has had a podcast for 4 years, I'm really struggling with editing skills. Like, I know nothing, and I've always been struggling with that. Just from, like, having two mics together or just one, and then it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, it's just, I've been struggling a lot, so.
What software do you use? Is it Audacity?
Like, yeah.
Audacity?
Either I tried to do GarageBand to just like record my stuff with two like mics, but then I struggle with that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and every time it's a struggle, and then we just end up like not recording anything.
Oh no. I am the editor on the podcast, but I feel like I might not be the right person to ask, only because with softwares like that, like especially Adobe Project, which is what we use, like I just like understand it.
Right.
So it would be really hard for me to explain it, but I'll try.
But like it's just like beginner stuff that would be great. Like either beginning editing software.
So something that could help you, especially if it's just the recording of the two mics, something that is actually not terrible to use is what we're actually using to live stream this. Is OBS. You can have multiple mic channels. You can record them all separately, and then you just cut out the video portion of it. You just take the audio. It would be a bit more work just taking the audio, but at least you can have different channels, and then you just edit that later on.
Would it work if one mic is connected to one computer and then one mic to the other, and then
They would need to be in the same computer, or they would need to be both inputting, but you can also do that as long as you have a hub. That one isn't terribly
hard. Are you talking about, like, cutting it together?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can record on separate computers, and then inside Audacity, you can open each video file, or each audio file as a separate track, and then you can adjust them sideways to sync them up and adjust volumes or balance and stuff like that. So you can absolutely do that. We record completely separately. We never record together, and it all gets edited in.
Awesome.
And that's, that's what it is. They open a bunch of the audio files in separate tracks inside the program, and then they just move them around, delete pieces, and
which
try to
makes get it
synced.
Easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I know earlier in the panel you were talking a little bit about Tumblr, and I'm a webcomic artist, creative, and so this might be outside your area of knowledge, but would you recommend Tumblr for cartoonists? I know one friend strongly suggested it, but I'd like a second opinion.
Yeah, Tumblr expert.
Okay. Don't say that to me. Yeah, honestly, there is tons of, like, cartoonists and people who make comic books on Tumblr. It has, like, a really good format for it. Most people are on their phone when they're on Tumblr. So if you make your comic in a way where it's easy to scroll, if that makes sense, then that's really good. But also Webtoon is, like, kind of, like, the place where most people put their webcomics. Advertising it on Tumblr, though, would probably be really good. Like, people love indie kind of projects on there. And I'm sure that if you were to go on there, there would be huge amounts of people that are in the community that'd be able to give you a much better answer than me. Even if putting your comic physically on Tumblr isn't the best choice, like if you were to look up the people who are making it on Tumblr, like they would probably answer questions, point you towards the communities, point you to points of networking that you need to do. And that's like, would help you a lot.
And yeah, my creation is more of a Gag a Day type of comic strip, so does that work for the Tumblr format?
I mean, towards that, the other big reason why Tumblr might just be helpful is, as we touched on a little bit earlier, building kind of a community with it is, it's a great place. Tumblr is a place for fandoms. Yeah. Think of Tumblr the same way you think of a comic convention. It is where people go to meet other people with very similar ideas. It's not the kind of place where you get as much doom scrolling and things like that. So I would recommend it.
We got a timing, so we need one more.
I'll be quick. Hold on. It's for a friend of mine. Do you suggest forming an LLC to run the podcast, or is a contract between the parties of the podcast enough?
For contracts?
Yeah, do you recommend setting an LLC or making individual contracts with the parties involved?
Have to say again, not after legal advice. I would the best way to play it is really, what is it worth it to do it yet? Being a business, being an LLC, things like that, is really, really good. There are a ton of huge benefits. There's also a lot of paperwork. And if that isn't something you can fully accomplish yet, it might not be worth it. But the benefits can outweigh the costs a lot of the time when it comes to that. Right. At least when we started, we weren't a business entity. We started off just more social contract, and then we evolved later on.
And if anyone has any other questions that they don't want to ask in front of the stage, or because we're running out of time, our booth is like right over there, and most of us will be walking around the con, and I would love to have any discussion about podcasts with anyone at any point ever. So just come find us.
Yeah, feel free to come.
Absolutely. We are always willing to talk to people and answer questions if we can.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Have a good day, everyone.
Right. Bye.
Bye. I think we're done.
Thanks. Thank you for coming.
Woo. Let me lower my mic back down. So Trevor,
this has been bugging me since we started. Okay.
Here, don't forget your laptop.
Yeah, and your pen.
Yeah.
Altia's favorite.
To be fair, that is actually
big Tumblr fan right here. That was so.
See, Shaq Mo was driving me
was the
Bro, once I actually got up there, it was like, because I went up early, I felt so much more fun. They're for the stage.